The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome to Normal Show Live. We got people loaded up in the chat room here at live.normal.org on our new Stick'em stream. Thanks for joining us here. We are going to have a great show for you today. Looks like legalization is happening everywhere in America. We had hearings in California. We had hearings in New Jersey. And today we'll be discussing the hearings that just took place just north of me in Washington State. Got some great audio clips for you. Stick around. We've also got your Daily Toker Tunes featuring some music for Groovin' Thursday. And our guest from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition will be here, Jim Dougherty, a former prosecutor, telling us why cops say legalize drugs. And of course, joining me all the way across the state of Oregon in the great city of Astoria, my half-half sister, Cannabis Carrie.
Hey, it's nice to see you on the webcam, Russ. The face connected to the voice.
It's good to be back, and we've got six people also on webcams there, all throughout the United States, I assume, who are enjoying the show, and the chat is up, and lots of people are having a good time. I want to remind folks also that you can get this show as an archived podcast in the Normal Daily Audio Stash. Check out our website at stash.normal.org. You can subscribe through iTunes. You can subscribe through any MP3 player that accepts an RSS feed. Look for it at stash.normal.org. Scroll about halfway down. Look on the right-hand sidebar, and you should see the normal Daily Audio Stash player. We've got archives going all the way back to, I believe, 2007 in that player. So plenty of good stuff there. Before we get too far along in the show, I wanted to make a comment that has absolutely nothing to do with marijuana. And that is, I'm with Team Coco. If you've been following this Jay Leno and Conan O'Brien thing, I just got to say, I'm with Team Coco. Carrie, you with Team Coco?
Hey, you know it. I've been a Conan fan for a long, long time. Of course.
All right. So we're hoping that everything works out well for Conan O'Brien. And I'm so upset at Jay Leno, you know, for doing that to him. But hey, that's the way show business goes, I suppose. All right. Also want to remind folks in the chat room, if you have any questions, you can just type them right up here in the chat when we get to our interview guest, and I'll bring those questions right up to him. So thanks for joining us. And if you've got emails, comments, questions about the show, just send them to me at stash@normal.org. We got to take a little bit of a break here to pay some bills. Please patronize our sponsors to help us keep this show on the internets, and we'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS
or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Look, when I was a kid, I inhaled frequently. That was the point.
Remember, Mr. President, you once were just one bust away from being Barry the drug criminal.
Life ain't a box of chocolates gone. That's why people smoke weed and take bumps and drink way too damn much and get drunk and do it all over again. First of the
medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
On World Cannabis News, an Australian doctor is seeking permission to conduct a trial of cannabis mouth spray for patients who suffer with multiple sclerosis. The Herald Sun newspaper says if the doctor from the Royal Melbourne Hospital's neurology department gets his way, it will be the first legal use of marijuana for medicinal purposes in Australia. The spray to be used in the trials is called Sativex and is currently manufactured by British company GW Pharmaceuticals, which specializes in cannabis-based medicines. The doctor is seeking state and federal permission to use the mouth spray and is currently going through the process of applying for approval from the hospital's Human Research Ethics Committee. Unlike Marinol, the synthetic version of THC, Sativex is made from a cannabis plant, and Sativex contains THC and other cannabinoids, as well as other compounds contained in the plant, which scientists believe contribute to marijuana's therapeutic benefits. Australia has had a hardline approach to marijuana, but activists are making strides there to decriminalize it, and it's estimated that more than 2 million Australians will smoke marijuana this year.
Watch out for this stuff, this Sativex stuff, people. One of the big complaints we've always had about Marinol, and Carrie brings this up, is that Marinol is just synthetic THC. It's 100% potent synthetic THC. So that always gives lie to the prohibitionists that say, oh, today's weed's not your father's Woodstock weed. It's 90 times stronger than the 60s. Well, if we're worried about, 10 to 15% THC weed, why aren't they worried about 100% THC Marinol? But, of course, everyone knows that the bad problem with Marinol is, A, it's a pill, so it takes like 45 minutes before you feel any effects, and B, it's just THC. The cannabis plant has so many other cannabinoids in it, and one of the primary constituents is cannabidiol, and cannabidiol kind of acts as an antipsychotic, or antipsychoactive, excuse me, and THC is a psychoactive. So if you get just the THC without the mitigating effects of the CBD, it's a much, much more intense trip than just having the plant marijuana. Trust me on this one. I've had plenty of marijuana, and I've actually tried the Marinol pills, and I've never smoked anything that messed me up as bad as a Marinol pill. Well, this brings me to the Sativex. The Sativex solves that problem in that it is a whole plant extract. It does contain the cannabinoids and some of the terpenes and flavonoids and the THC and all the things you'd want out of marijuana, and it's a sublingual spray. You spray it underneath your tongue. Now, the deal, though, that I worry about this, the reason I got a problem with this, is because I can just see the pharmaceutical companies and the people that are against marijuana salivating at the idea of being able to make a buck by taking a free cannabis plant and extracting it and putting it in a bottle and putting a barcode on it and slapping a huge markup on it. And this is something I've referred to in the past as the medicalization of marijuana that we need to worry about. While it's a beautiful thing that we provide marijuana for sick people, they only represent 5% of the people that use marijuana. And by as they make these moves, as they come up with the technology to provide the medicinal benefits, they'll begin to start finding ways to take away the psychoactivity, the high, what they call a unnecessary side effect. And where that leaves us is a situation where the impact we have by bringing up medical use of marijuana will be negated because they'll have a pharmaceutical version of marijuana that will do just the same thing, and we'll be stuck without a way of making it legal for the rest of us. So I'm encouraged by these Sativex trials, but I also encourage everyone to be a little bit wary of where this might end up leading us.
And an interesting story out of the Southern Oregon newspaper, the Mail Tribune, this morning. School administrators of Ashland High School, a town near the Oregon-California border, are working to create guidelines for teens who hold medical marijuana cards. Principal Jeff Schlecht said it places the school in an awkward position. Students are prohibited from being under the influence of drugs on campus and from bringing pot to school. He admitted he knows of fewer than five students at the high school who have marijuana cards, but he says there are likely more. High school students who are younger than 18 need a parent's permission to get a marijuana card and sign a form saying that they will control acquisition, dosage, and frequency of use. Teachers or school administrators who notice that a student is under the influence are required to send the student to the office. If the student has a marijuana card, administrators work with the student's parents, physician, and teachers to create guidelines. You can be under the influence and be successful in many high school classes like biochem or algebra 2, says Principal Schlecht. As far as administrators are aware, card-holding students have largely been following school guidelines, and administrators have not seen card-holding students coming to class under the influence and insisting that they must for medical reasons.
Well, you know, if we're going to set up a guideline for what medical marijuana using teenagers should be subject to in our schools, why not just use the same guideline we have for other prescription drugs they might be using? I'm sure there's all sorts of students in there that are under the influence of Ritalin or painkillers or other sorts of drugs that could be drugs of abuse in certain people's mind. So why do we have to have a different standard for marijuana use, especially when we're considering that marijuana use is so much safer to the individual, to the teenager, than would be any of these pharmaceutical drugs? Yes, we do need to have some guidelines. We need to have some reasonable controls on the kids in the schools that might have medical marijuana cards. But again, we need to treat marijuana like other medicines. If we've got standards for regular pharmaceutical medicines, those standards should equally apply when we're talking about the use of medical marijuana.
And with all the news about Washington State looking at making marijuana legal for adults, a survey from USA Today polled 500 Washingtonians on Wednesday and found that the public is behind the effort. 56% of respondents thought legalization was a good idea. Now, the numbers are quite different between the sexes, with men polling at 64% in favor of legalization, and only 48% of women were for legalization. Yeah, and you see the numbers shift dramatically when age is a factor. 63% of those aged 50 to 64 think legalizing cannabis is a good idea. But if you pass the magic birthday of 65, that will put you in a category where only 32% of your peers think legal pot is a good idea. The other question in the poll asked if it was a good idea or a bad idea to put legal marijuana in liquor stores and tax it. 54% of the Washingtonians polled thought that lawmakers should allow the sale of marijuana in state-run liquor stores. And that poll has a margin error of 4.5%. Russ?
So you said the overall support for legalization was 56, but in liquor stores it was 54?
Right, to put it in liquor stores and tax it was the actual question.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting that there's a 2% drop when we talk about putting the marijuana near the liquor. It's something we also found here in Oregon when we polled on a similar idea of putting marijuana in liquor stores. And it even turned out worse in Oregon because here in this state there's somewhat of a history and kind of an assumption about the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and questions of improprieties and fraud and so on. So that interested me. But I'm very heartened by the notion of 56% of the people in Washington supporting outright legalization. This mirrors what we saw from the California field poll that had a similar number. 56% of the people in California support outright legalization, and 60% in Southern California in the LA metro area support outright legalization. This is why I personally have an issue with the continued focus on medical marijuana. again, medical marijuana is a beautiful thing. Glad it works. Glad people are people that are ill or disabled are getting their medicine. But it's time to start focusing on the 100% of us who use marijuana, not just 5% of us who are ill, right? I get really tired of the line that I hear often from medical marijuana advocates. They say, I'm a patient, not a criminal. Well, then what does that make me? I'm not a patient. Am I a criminal? No, I'm not a criminal. And it's time that we start focusing on what the people really want. Legalization. Medical marijuana was a great strategy for the 90s. Great strategy for the early 2000s. It's 2010 now. We've got the entire West Coast in majority support for outright legalization. Let's go for the whole shebang here instead of nibbling around the edges of medical marijuana. Let's get this done.
It only comes twice a day, but I don't. It's 420 somewhere.
All right, Chief Greenbud, thanks for the intro. It's time for your cannabis community calendar, which you can find at norml.org/calendar. Friday, January 15th, Joplin Normal is having a back-to-school bash. Check out joplin-normal.org. On Saturday, January 16th, a ton of things going on. U.S. Virgin Islands Normal is participating in the Bordeaux Rasta Fair. Check that out at usvinormal.org. Michigan Normal's having their first quarter meeting at the East Bay Lodge in Houghton Lake, Michigan. Check out minormal.org. Miami Valley Normal in Ohio is having their meeting on Saturday at the Middletown Public Library in Middletown, Ohio. Check out Ohio Normal or mvnormal.org. January, they're having a meeting, their first January meeting on Saturday for Kansas City Normal. Check out kcnormal.org. New York City is having their membership meeting. You can email jay@jgoldstein.net for more information. The 12th Annual Medical Marijuana Benefit at Tobacco Road is going on in Miami, Florida. Email me at stash@normal.org if you're interested in that. And a normal evening at the Foo Bar featuring our own Chief Greenbud, the man you just heard introducing this segment. He'll be performing his tunes along with Muck Sticky and Slick Sid at the Foo Bar in Nashville, Tennessee. Check out tnnormal.org for details or check out our calendar at normal.org/calendar. On Sunday, the U.S. Virgin Islands Normal Bordeaux Rasta Fair continues. Monday is Martin Luther King's birthday and also a U.S. Virgin Islands Normal public meeting, usvinormal.org for details. Kansas City Normal on Monday has a speaker showing up from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, Brian Leininger, kcnormal.org for details. Next Tuesday, Oakland County Normal in Michigan is having their meeting. Check out minormal.org. And on Wednesday, January 20th, Benzie County Normal in Michigan is having a potluck dinner. Call Reverend Steve at 231-882-4496 for more information. And to get all of the information to this calendar, check out normal.org/calendar. If you'd like to get your events read on Normal Show Live and displayed at normal.org, just get them to your local Normal chapter, have them create their own calendar and share it with russ@normal.org, and I will make sure to make those announcements.
It's a normal shout-out.
We're continuing with our shout-out to the state of Washington, the Evergreen State. We are reconfiguring the Washington Normal chapter, especially after some of the testimony yesterday. I'll get to that later on in the show. So if you're interested in putting together Washington Normal and helping to support the decrim and legalization bills that are happening in that state, send me an email at stash@normal.org, and we'll put you in touch with the people that are going to make that happen. We've got Jeff Steinborn and Doug Hyatt, a couple of attorneys from the Normal Legal Committee, who are going to also be assisting in putting that chapter together. So everyone in the Western Washington area, please get in touch with me, stash@normal.org. For those of you in Eastern Washington, there is a great chapter in Spokane called Inland Northwest Normal. You can check them out at innormal.org. Got a ton of people in the chat room, a lot of video cams, and people seemingly enjoying their 420 break. About time the rest of us got that chance. We're going to take a short pause for the good cause. You know what the cause is. We'll be right back after these messages. Please support our sponsors, and thanks for joining us here at Normal Show Live.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Law420.com.
Hello, I'm Russ Belville, Outreach Coordinator for Normal. In my job, I read literally hundreds of headlines each month involving nonviolent, productive citizens whose lives are ripped apart by a marijuana or drug arrest. Many citizens could avoid arrest by refusing police searches and remaining silent, but police are well-trained to confuse and intimidate. That's why you have a right to speak to an attorney before answering any police questions. I hope you never need to exercise that right, but if you do, make your first call to the law offices of John C. Lucy IV. John Lucy is an accomplished criminal defense attorney with expertise in Oregon's medical marijuana law. John Lucy understands and respects cannabis and drug consumers of all backgrounds. Call John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit in downtown Portland. Address available at law420.com. That's John C. Lucy IV at 503-227-6000 or visit law420.com today.
Hi, this is Alan St. Pierre, the Executive Director of Normal. We are the oldest, largest, and best-known marijuana law reform organization in America, and it's all because of your support. Take some time to join Normal at www.normalnorml.org. Your membership supports this podcast, our websites, our policy research and analysis, and our annual conferences. Changing marijuana laws is a grassroots effort, and it starts with you, the stakeholder. Join Normal today and add your voice to the millions of cannabis consumers who demand equality with our beer-drinking friends.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Groovin' Thursday, our salute to all the dopest beats and killer rhymes that we find in the best of rap, hip-hop, soul, R&B, and funk. Brought to you by the John Doe Radio Show, accurate and informative marijuana reform news and entertainment. Available on the THC Media Network and johndoeradio.com. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune. Hey, everybody. John Doe couldn't join us today because he is involved with a protest, and he's giving a speech probably right about now at the Statehouse steps in Denver, Colorado. So he asked me to take over for today and provide you a Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker Tune. So I've pulled one out of the vaults. This is one that we played on the Stash back in 2008, and it's a favorite of mine and Carrie's. We love this tune. And personally, I think I like it just mainly because I love the name of the group. It's a great group name. And the song today is called Smoke That Feelin', and it's by a group called Amphibious Tongues.
Smoke that feeling like a pro on it. Get me oh so high like a pogo. Philly with the homegrown. Then we get me stone gone right. Miss Mary Jane. Wanna make love long time. Hit it one more time. Put your lungs on tight. Get your smoke on, boy. We could go all night. Get your coat. We'll be home when the sun don't shine. When the sun don't shine. Ooh. That's the other ceremony. Gonna roll the bolo to the show. Where they gonna know me. Where the flow don't flow. Till they go and hold me. Up close to the soul. Cause I'm oh so holy. Gone, gone with the rhythm. When I'm in the boat chilling. Soak down. What now? Feel them up, feel it. Get your swimming trunks. Till we don't blow. Pill it. Pop, pop. On the song. Give me love. Don't kill it. We just chillin', smoke that feeling, touch that ceiling, smoke that feeling. When we high, believe we gon' ride out. Yeah, we just chillin', smoke that feeling, touch that ceiling, smoke that feeling. When we high, believe we gon' ride out.
smoke that feeling till I'm slow-mo. Baby, give me oh so high, let the ozone layer. I postpone plans to hold a hand and throw it to my man like an old school player. Wait up, let me pump for once. This is straight up, love more than just a crush. I can't believe I spent my lunch money, all I save it for later. Fuck that, things a must. Rush over to the place we can find the bomb and let pretty green eyes see my mind is on. It don't matter, we can do it either pipe or bong. But silly, if you pass it to the right, you're wrong. So follow rules when you huff my chronic. Left hand side plus plus five on it. Hoes wanna smoke for free like somehow in a pitch bitch. Why did you hurry up mouth? First hit, I'm in the trees, relax, ease back, touch class, give a Jesus down. High, never lose, ride, never falling down, twist bliss, can we all just clap? We get around, Miss Mary Jane, ride the train, the same name she was when we met, the slut. But still, yeah, she always find time to bless me. Feel it, so puff on the sun, give it love, don't kill it. Puff on the sun, give it love, don't kill it. Puff on the sun, give it love, don't kill it. We just chillin', smoke that feeling, touch that ceiling, smoke that feeling. When we high, believe we gon' ride out. Ride out to the beat like I'm all up in a pinto. Back pull the seat with a mouth full of bento. Down to the street with a big hoe heat. And I'm paranoid, everyone be complete. So they pass on by, hit it, get the joint, light the ass on fire. Keep the music up while we puff that. And it looking like a silhouette through the smoke tail. When it came, Darth Vader, carburetor,
spark, we will light up people know.
Smoke that feeling on the sun, on the moon, or whatever you choose to do.
It's fun.
Pop, pop, give. I can never get enough of the love, blood, blend.
Wanna get you fucked till you're up, up, 10
feet in the sky.
Eyes blind by the cha-cha.
Don't say your bye-bye. We just chillin'.
Smoke that feeling.
Touch that ceiling.
Smoke that feeling. When we high, believe we gon' ride out.
We just chillin'.
Smoke that feeling.
Touch that ceiling.
Smoke that feeling. When we high, believe we gon' ride out. When we high, believe we gon' ride out.
The Amphibious Tongues will smoke that feeling. One of our favorite tunes here. Had a drop off on the live feed, just getting that reattached for everyone out there in the chat room. Sorry about that. I think it's an issue on the Stick'em side. We're getting so many listeners now, it might be overwhelming some of their servers, but glad to have you back. So coming up next, we'll be speaking with Jim Doherty from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. He's here to talk about why cops say legalize drugs, and we'll hope you'll join us for that. We will be coming back also with some more commercial messages for you right now, so stick around. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
One of the most disturbing elements of the war on marijuana is how it has made police the enemy of otherwise law-abiding cannabis consumers. Fortunately, one group of police officers knows firsthand the futility of the drug war and reaches out to the community and to current law enforcement to end our war on drugs through legalization. It's time now to speak to one such officer in our continuing look at law enforcement against prohibition.
All right, joining me by telephone now is Jim Doherty with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Jim, welcome to the show. Hello, Jim. Do I have you there? Okay, we seem to be having some difficulties getting Jim on the line. Jim, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, thank you, Jim. Sorry about the delay there. Having a little technical issue here. So, Jim Doherty, you're with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Can you tell us a little bit of your background in law enforcement?
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just...
I started with...
I started as a corrections officer, and after that went to law school, became a public defender, did that for several years, felonies and misdemeanors, and then I became a prosecutor for about 6 years. And I also worked, familiarity with drug issues, I worked getting people into treatment programs, mostly working with heroin addicts and alcoholics back prior to law school.
Okay. And in what area of the country were you doing your work?
Oregon and Washington, and I actually spent 2 years as a prosecutor in the South Pacific in Samoa.
Oh, okay. Quite interesting. Now, when you began this work, had you always had the notion that we should end prohibition, or is this a view that you came to through your experience?
I went through college in the late 60s, and I was certainly thought that the marijuana laws didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had some real reservations about how other more addictive drugs were handled, but gradually realized that prohibition applied to the negatives of prohibition were the same for those drugs as for marijuana.
Okay. So you mentioned being a correctional officer. I imagine that you probably met a lot of people in the correctional system who had gotten there because of these drug laws. What did they teach you about this futility, the futility of prohibition?
Well, I've locked up, defended, and prosecuted people for all sorts of drug laws and just known people through college and around that use drugs. It certainly seemed to be a waste of the time and effort of our whole criminal justice system to spend so much time on drug issues when primarily they should be a medical and a social issue and not a criminal issue.
Hmm. You know, on our side of the fence, a lot of people will come up with the theory or the notion that most of the people in law enforcement are against ending marijuana prohibition or drug prohibition in general because of the profits that are possible through drug seizures, through the forfeiture laws, and the ease with which one can arrest a marijuana offender versus, say, a hardened criminal or a violent criminal. Is there any truth to that notion?
Well, I think in law enforcement, a lot of police officers are tired of the revolving door. When you arrest someone for marijuana, it's not like you're going to change their life or change their attitude towards marijuana. And it takes a lot of time to write up the reports and deal with it. In the meantime, there are a lot more serious crimes that I think police officers would prefer to spend their time on.
Mm.
And in terms of the court system, attorneys, prosecutors, and defense attorneys will be glad to see most of them will be glad to see the marijuana issue just disappear because it's not worth the time and effort and the expense that goes into it.
Mm. Okay. We're speaking with Jim Doherty. He's with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, a former prosecutor and correctional officer. As we try to convince people that it's necessary to end prohibition, what are some of the things that you like to tell, let's say, the average mother and father who are terrified of their kid becoming some sort of junkie?
Well, currently, through prohibition, we've turned over all control of the drug trade to the black market. And in essence, we've lost any regulatory control. And by moving it into a regulatory environment, we would at least have some semblance of control. Drugs would not be adulterated. We could control dosage and purity. We could make a better attempt at keeping drugs away from people that are underage. And we take away the huge untaxed profits that go to the drug gangs now and move that into a taxed environment where the tax revenues could be used for drug abuse treatment. And that would be a much better use of our resources. And it's odd, and I don't know that anyone would have predicted it, but it seems that the financial argument is one that seems to resonate with people, particularly over the last couple of years.
Now, in speaking to law enforcement audiences, trying to convince police and prosecutors that we need to end this prohibition, we've seen in the hearings in the past couple of days in California and Washington, when law enforcement gets up to testify against legalization or decriminalization, a lot of warnings of how the sky will fall and how they've dealt with the devastation of neighborhoods that have been wrecked by drugs and drug abuse. What are the things that you say to police officers to try to convince them that what they think is kind of counterintuitive, legalizing drugs, is actually the best way of dealing with drugs?
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that a lot of police officers see the worst of the drug trade. And a lot of what they're seeing is the drug trafficking, and it's the violence between drug dealers. It's the total lack of regulation that results in all of the violence. And we don't see that sort of violence over liquor because it's a regulated substance. We don't have people running stills, you know, in their backyard. We have a pretty sane system. But the police have been confronted by all the violence for so long. And I think that there will be a good chance to see in a regulatory environment if this functions pretty well like alcohol does. It's not to say that alcohol is good for people, but by having it in a regulatory environment, we do have some semblance of control of the quality of the substance, so that people aren't going blind from drinking alcohol. It's a pure substance, and also there's taxation that can assist the state in dealing with the problems. You know, if we can't get rid of the use of substances, we should at least try to minimize the harms. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the harms with drugs comes from the illegal trade. Mm. Certainly the violence in Mexico, the profits that come out of Afghanistan from heroin. I realize those are hard drugs and not the marijuana issue. Mm-hmm. But certainly there's a lot of violence connected with the marijuana trade, particularly the large importers from Mexico.
Okay. I have a comment here from New Jersey Leaper out in our chat room who says police officers are more realistic than their bosses. Do you detect a stark difference between police leadership versus the beat cops on this issue?
Boy, you know, I haven't been a prosecutor for a while. I would say there's probably a split. I think the younger officers that have probably had more contact with younger users and more time with just the run-of-the-mill arrests for marijuana, I think their attitudes are probably a little more open to regulation than the older officers and maybe the police chiefs. But it's hard to know. I haven't seen any direct survey of those figures.
Okay. We're speaking with Jim Doherty from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, a former prosecutor and a correctional officer, about ending prohibition, not just of marijuana, but of all drugs. And this is an area where sometimes even people on our side of the marijuana issue have some trouble making, and if you'll pardon the pun, making the leap over to the idea that all drugs should be legalized. A lot of people fear that the so-called harder drugs, even legalized, might cause a lot of problems. How do you convince a marijuana supporter that all drugs should be legalized?
Well, I think the strongest argument is that we need to regulate it because these are dangerous drugs. We have no regulations on them when they're totally prohibited. It's just they're bought and sold through the black market, without, particularly with a lot of the chemical substances aside from marijuana. You know, when someone uses heroin or uses meth, how do they know what they're putting into their body? There's no purity issues that are regulated, and that's the reason for a lot of overdoses, which just ends up costing the taxpayers a lot of money with medical treatment for these people that, unfortunately, have a medical problem. They're addicted to these drugs, and they crave it, but when they use it, they don't know what they're using. So it's more that we need to get control of these substances. They're here, and we've learned after 40 years of the war on drugs that just prohibiting them and passing laws against them doesn't mean they're going to go away.
Mm.
It hasn't worked, and we just need to realize that.
Okay. You know, opponents of drug legalization, they will oftentimes come out and say that if we legalize drugs, we are giving the imprimatur of the state. We are saying that it's okay to do drugs. What do you think of that angle?
I think we're acknowledging that drugs are present in our society, and we need to be responsible about them and regulate them, rather than sort of closing our eyes and just letting the black market deal with it. Responsibility means regulating dangerous substances, just like we do alcohol. It's not going to end abuse. And changing the laws on marijuana isn't going to change abuse. And people can sit around and be stoned all day long, just as right now they can sit around and be drunk all day long. But if we put our money into education, into counseling, into treatment, we can help some people deal with their problems, because usually they've got underlying issues in their life, social issues or other things that they're wrestling with, and they cover it up with drugs and alcohol. And we need to realize that that's a social issue, a medical issue, and focus on that rather than putting people in jail, which does nothing to help them with their problems.
Mm.
And, you know, it's interesting. It seems the attitude is changing. You know, the TV station here, King 5, one of our major stations, just did a survey, and they found that 56% of the people in the state, now 54%, are in favor of having marijuana sold through liquor stores, state liquor stores, which is one of the proposals that's been introduced, one of the bills introduced in our legislature. So I think the attitude is changing, and people are willing to consider approaching drugs in a totally different way.
Well, we certainly hope so. And the folks at LEAP are doing great work on helping to convince people, especially people that are, you know, either on the fence or don't know anything about drugs or marijuana, that the idea of legalization is a good one. You can find them at all the conferences and all of the festivals wearing the shirts that say, "Cops say legalize drugs," or "Ask me why cops say legalize drugs." It's one of my favorite sites whenever I go out in the summertime. Jim, I want to thank you for joining us here on the Normal Show Live, and making your views public for all of our listeners. And thanks for the great work you're doing with LEAP.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you so much, Jim Doherty. And folks, check out LEAP on the web. Two different ways you can get there. You can go to leap.cc if you don't like typing a lot. Or if you're a fast typist, you can put in copssaylegalizeddrugs.com, and that'll get you out there as well. This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation. We'll be coming back in just a moment with some more on marijuana legalization. This time in Washington State, we've got clips from yesterday's hearings and maybe some commentary on Arizona medical marijuana. We'll be right back. Stick around.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com. Or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated.
Starfish designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
Been busted? Need a lawyer? Call the Normal Legal Committee for an attorney near you. Find one at norml.org. Remember, attorneys are cheaper than a lifelong criminal drug record.
Just have freedom. Freedom. I'm freedom.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking now about Washington legalization, and we had a bunch of folks up there that were testifying on two different bills. One bill for decriminalization of marijuana in Washington State, and another one, as our LEAP speaker mentioned, about legalization in Washington State. And one thing about these hearings, I'm so excited about this, because California just had their hearings on AB 390 legalization on Monday, or was it Tuesday? Tuesday, I think. Monday, we had the New Jersey Senate and Assembly. They were going through their votes on medical marijuana, and I was in contact with so many people that were getting online and going to their government websites and watching the live streaming video from these hearings. And we also had reports from, you know, we had Futurami, I think, the assemblyman in California, making note of how many cameras there were in the assembly hall and how many people were signing up to testify. This is the most beautiful thing about marijuana law reform, is it gets people involved with their government. You know, so many times on our side, we have people that have this, oh, screw the pigs and government sucks. Well, folks, your government. It's your government. If government sucks, it's because you're not getting involved with it. That's the problem. So when I see people just coming out of the woodwork to testify on these bills and to show up and make their presence known in their state house, I think it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing. However, may I please, beg you to do just a few little things if you're going to go testify. Number one, wear something nice. Wear something nice. You don't have to be like me and put on a tie, but at least have a collar. I don't know how many people I saw that came in there wearing some ratty old t-shirt with some, you know, anti-drug war slogan on it, which is great for a march. It's great for a hemp fest, whatever. Not for the state house. Come on, people. When you're going forth into those state houses, you're representing all of us. And we come to the table already with a ton of prejudices and stereotypes that have built up over 70 years. Comb your hair, shave, take a shower, wear something nice. Please, please, I beg of you. The number two thing I want people to think about if they're going to go testify: you cannot summarize every great thing about marijuana, every terrible thing about prohibition, and all the reasons why we need to legalize in the time you're going to be given. You got to think that you're going to get at most 2 minutes, 2 minutes to get your point across. So pick one point, make it a personal point, make it something that applies to you. For example, if I'm going to go testify on legalization, I'm not going to start talking about how great medical marijuana is for patients. I'm not a patient. Now, I know it's great for patients. I completely support patients' rights to medical marijuana. But if I get up there, I'm going to talk about being in corporate IT, going to work for 3 years wearing a suit and a tie, getting fantastic evaluations on my IT work and my coding, only to be denied a permanent spot because of a stupid drug test. That's what I'm going to talk about, because it's personal and it's something that I can, you know, get across in 2 minutes and make it stick in someone's mind. So think about that. Also, think about all the other people who have testified before you. Try not to duplicate what they're saying. See if you can come up with something new, something that the legislators haven't heard before. Number three, if you're going to go testify, do not show up with prepared written remarks and read them verbatim. Nobody listens to that. It's dull. They can't really focus on what you're saying. And your legislators are going to get a copy of that anyway, right? You're going to hand it off to the legislative staff. They're going to make photocopies of it. They can go ahead and get the, they can go ahead and read it in chambers whenever they need to. Stick to speaking in a natural tone, not reading from a piece of paper, putting things into your own words. All right, now, with that out of the way, let me talk a little bit about some of the testimony that came up yesterday. I'm going to pull these clips up here. Let me start off. Let's see, where'd they go? Oh, boy, down to Washington. Where'd they go? I got to find them. hold on. Okay, first of all, there's Representative Goodman. He's one of the representatives in Washington State, and this guy really has a good handle on the drug issues. He really seems to know what's going on with marijuana, and he was one of the better people to be supporting us. This is toward the end of the hearing when one of the fellow representatives asked him about, well, if we legalize marijuana, what are we going to do about stoned drivers?
Representative Goodman, Representative Ross was wondering if you'd yield to a quick question.
Roger, I know you've spent a great deal of time working with driving under the influence. Today, we didn't have time about this, but I'd like to hear from you how you think law enforcement's going to handle this as it relates to some of your interlock devices and concerns about driving.
As to driving under the influence, there actually are, and I have the same concern. How can we test for current impairment? If you test the blood of someone, they're going to have THC in their blood for 60 days, and that's not fair to be holding them accountable for something they did where they're not impaired at the moment. There are tests to show metabolites in the blood for active impairment. And so if we have the technology to determine whether someone's impaired, then there's no reason not to regulate it as an intoxicant available to adults, because then we would, similar to alcohol, we have the technology to detect the impairment at the time.
And what was the reason you stated why we would not sell this product next to alcohol?
The Dutch have found that selling alcohol and cannabis in the same location presents a threat to public safety. And it's because of alcohol and its pharmacological effect on behavior. And so we really need to control alcohol better, a lot better. And now's our opportunity to protect, to regulate marijuana.
Yeah, we definitely need to control alcohol a whole lot better. Here's my thing on the stone driver thing. Number one, people are smoking marijuana already. And some of them, hopefully few of them, are already driving under the influence of marijuana. So if driving under the influence of marijuana is such a problem, how come we're not seeing the huge statistics of wrecks and deaths from marijuana? Number two, what are we doing to bust them now? How is it that we stop marijuana-impaired drivers now? Well, whatever we're doing now, let's just keep doing that once marijuana is legal. So many of these points depend on the notion that nobody's smoking now, and suddenly when we legalize marijuana, we'll open Pandora's box and the roads will be full of stoners. It's just not true. Now, I got to remind everyone, nobody is suggesting that you smoke and drive. Don't do it. It's a mistake. Hang around for a while. Share it with your friends. Let it wear off, man. But really, this threat of stone drivers, I always think it's a little bit overblown. Because number one, you can't convince me that you're really that concerned about impaired drivers behind the wheel while every bar in the state has a parking lot, right? I know all them cars in the parking lot don't belong to the employees. I know all them cars in the parking lot weren't driven by designated drivers. We have places where people go specifically to get impaired on one of the hardest, most addictive drugs we have available, alcohol. And we know for damn sure some of them are driving on it. Again, we don't encourage anyone to do that, but we know that it happens. Furthermore, when we talk about this impairment, remember that in all of our states in America, we have something known as a 0.08 per se DUI law, which says if they pull you over and you fail the breathalyzer at 0.08 or higher, you are impaired. No matter how great a driver you are, you're impaired, you're a DUI, you're going to jail. So doesn't that mean that at below 0.08, you might not be impaired? Right? Like you can blow a 0.07, and so long as you were driving okay, and the officer has no reason to see you fail the field sobriety test, you might not get a DUI. Now, don't get me wrong, you can get a DUI with a 0.01. Someone in our chat room was bringing that up. That's absolutely true. You can get a driving under the impairment even if you don't fail the breathalyzer test, if the officer can prove reasonably that you were impaired. Certainly, that is absolutely true. But by having a 0.08 limit, we are implying as a society that some people can drive impaired and it's okay. Now, when I look at studies that come out of Britain and Australia that show that drivers under the influence, even the heaviest amounts of THC, drive no worse than someone at a 0.05 BAC, that's where I have a problem with this overblown idea of impairment. All right, let me bring up another testimony from the from that hearing up in Washington State. This is a fella by the name of Bailey Hirschberg. He was an intern at Normal in Washington, D.C., worked for a long time in Missouri with some of their Normal chapters. Apparently, he's moved out to Washington State, and he gives an eloquent testimony as to why we need to legalize marijuana.
My name is Bailey Hirschberg. I'm a recreational cannabis user. I hope you guys don't get too frightened or disgusted. I'd like to address a couple points that were made earlier. I have a chart here from the National Institute on Drug Abuse that compares the addictive properties of various drugs, including marijuana. I have copies for all the members of the committee. I hope you have time to look that over.
Yes, please show those to staff.
I also have an article from the San Francisco Call, which no longer exists, I believe. It's from 1910, and it's an editorial to stamp out the traffic in narcotics. It says that despite tough regulations, the traffic in narcotics continues, as it does today, and that the chief result has been to raise up a class of illicit peddlers, which is now a Mexican drug cartel that makes $25 billion annually, and that even our military bases are showing signs of substance abuse. And today, about 25% of our active duty military may or may not abuse prescription drugs. This article's from 99 years ago, and these are exactly the same problems we have today. If that doesn't bother anyone on the committee, then I want to know what is in your mind when you make these policies. Now, this is about freedom. I'd like to behave responsibly. I'm going to try and wrap it up. But the reality is that from 2001 to 2008, youth use in marijuana declined. And over that same period, the number of medical marijuana states tripled. Today, fewer teens use cigarettes than use tobacco.
He means cannabis.
And that's not because tobacco is less addictive, it's more addictive. But the reality is that this system enables these substances to get to our youth. If you want to know what a world looks like with drugs available to anyone, look out the window. That is the world we have now. Please change that and support these bills.
Thank you.
Yeah, that is definitely the point that I wanted to get played here, is that if you want to look at a world of drugs out of control, look at what we've got now. This is what's out of control. Those of us who support marijuana legalization want to see some control. We don't want to see criminals selling us our weed. We don't want to see gangsters up in our national forests ruining and terracing the landscape and dumping harsh chemicals and diesel fuel. We don't want that. We don't want people getting shot over plant matter. That's why we want to legalize. And yes, for those of you in the chat room, it's a Jerry Garcia tie. One last piece of testimony, and boy, did this get my blood boiling. For 2 years now, I have had people trying to get in touch with Washington Normal. Those of you who don't know, I'm also National Outreach Coordinator for Normal, and so it's my job to shepherd all of the state and local chapters. For 2 years, we've been trying to get a hold of Washington Normal, never, ever gotten any response. It's been my belief that the chapter has been dormant, and that's why I've been giving out all of these shout-outs lately to reform Washington Normal. My attempts to call these people never returned. My attempts to email these people never returned. The various attempts by many people who have contacted me trying to get a hold of Washington Normal never returned. So imagine my surprise when a man named Lee Newberry gets up claiming to represent Normal, opposing decriminalization and legalization.
Hi, my name is Lee Newberry. I'm the director of the Washington State Chapel of the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, and it's quite odd for me to be on this side, but I'm here to oppose both bills. 1177, I'm opposing it because if you want to decriminalize marijuana, I'd like to see it decriminalized, not the first time, not for the second time. Decriminalize marijuana. If you want to put a fine on the recreational users that get caught using it, that's fine. Well, the second time it shouldn't turn to a misdemeanor, the third time it shouldn't turn to a felony. It's let it just be decriminalized. As far as Senate Bill 2401, I find the studies have shown that alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana, and it has been for all these years. And I don't really want to associate marijuana and alcohol together. I think that's a poor choice of judgment. And I think legalizing marijuana in Washington State is the way to go. I just think the legislation in 2401 is a poor example of it.
Boy, I'll tell you what, this guy does not represent Normal in Washington State. As far as I'm concerned, the Washington State Normal chapter hasn't been in existence for 2 years. And trust me, after I get off the air with this show, there are going to be a couple of phone calls and emails made to this Mr. Lee Newberry. Myself, Keith Stropp, and a whole bunch of people here at Normal staff were not happy whatsoever to see this on our webcams, and believe me, we'll make a change. There's a lot of old cobwebs on our website there at normal.org, a lot of chapters up there that don't really exist anymore. I'll be cleaning those out by the end of this month, so you can depend on us. That's right, we'll be taking care of things here. Radical Russ doing the work for you while I can. We are going to weed out, pardon the pun, the non-functioning and dysfunctional normal chapters. So remember, we're hard at work. We'll get it all taken care of. Sorry about that, Dan. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers. Peace out. I'll leave the chat room open and some great music for you. Stick around. See you tomorrow.